At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gal Media station.
Do these guys have any idea what they're doing? Probably not. But that won't stop them from making picks. This is BZ Money.
Brock Purdy's got ruled out for week 12. You want to take back that San Francisco thing?
Say that again?
Brock Purdy just got ruled out. Literally just got the notification.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like perfect timing, right after we were talking about that. They ruled him out because of a shoulder injury. Brandon Allen will start against the Packers this week. That might be a destination for Daniel Jones, man.
Would make a lot of sense. Get with Kyle Shanahan.
I don't think he's a great fit for the West Coast offense because, you know, West Coast offense, accuracy, precision, that doesn't really scream Daniel Jones. But when you're starting a Brandon Allen, that's when it becomes something that makes some sense for a Daniel Jones. But, yeah, Brock Purdy has been ruled out for this Sunday's game against San Francisco. That is Sunday, right? San Francisco?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sunday's game. All right, BZ Money. Who cares about the standings, right? Who cares about how we're doing individually? It's about how we do as a unit.
Oh, now we don't care. Okay.
I will see how far I can get on that. No, Blankers has overtaken me. Blankers now in first place. He had a good week, 12-7-1. I had a terrible week. First time he's been first place, yeah. First time he's been first place. He's overtaken us all. He was in the cellar a few weeks ago. He's been hot. He's been red hot.
That was Gene Peterson's nickname for me.
What was it?
What?
The Bullet.
Oh, really? I didn't know if it was the cellar.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure where this was going.
Why?
He started – I interviewed with him in an airport in Minneapolis.
You pull a gun on him? What happened?
And he was like, I got nicknames for everybody. Bullet.
That's
Bullet
weird.
Blank. And I was like, okay. And every single time he walked, hey, Bullet, okay.
And I'm guessing he was the only one that called you that?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
I wonder where he came up with Bullet for you.
I don't know.
That's interesting.
I really don't.
From the mean streets of Wisconsin.
Hey, Milwaukee's tough, man.
Blankers in first place, 12-7-1. I'm in second, 11-9.
We don't have to mention mine. We don't have to.
9-11. Blankers, first game you're selling to us this week.
I am selling to you Brian's Red Hot Denver Broncos are taking on.
You're on the bandwagon?
The Las Vegas Raiders. They're starting to win me over. Bo Nix is playing some serious football. Their defense, as Brian has mentioned, is no joke. It's legit. And I think the Raiders are trying to play to be as bad as they can to try and get a draft pick. It's a 6-point game. It's not a touchdown. It's not more. I like Broncos by a touchdown here.
Well, it is a touchdown.
I thought I had 6.
Yeah, well, he's being snarky.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, well, the extra point matters.
I didn't love this week's slate of games. I only bet 3 games against the spread this entire week, and one of them was last night, and your boy lost. So this is one that I didn't play personally, but I do think that the Broncos win by 8. So comfortable playing it, not comfortable putting a ton of money on it, but I would be on the Denver side if I was forced to play one side or the other.
This is all on you,
yeah,
hot stuff.
I agree with Jeremy's sentiment in that, like, if I was going out to place the bet or place bets on my own, I probably would stay away. But Denver's defense is so good. The Raiders are trash. And Denver, 8-3 this year against the spread. They've been doing it all year consistently. I would lean the Denver side.
All right.
$20.
How much?
20?
I mean, we're all
25?
On the same side on it. I think we should bet at least 30. Let's
I'm
go 30.
30.
All right, let's do
30
it.
30 on Denver. Do you think that Gene Peterson called you Bullet because some bullets are blank?
No, but I expected you to try and dig that deep to find something that like that.
All right, next game that we're gonna sell to you guys. The game I'm gonna sell to you guys. You know what the Giants did this week, right? They turned to Danny DeVito to be their starting quarterback. And we know what Danny DeVito's got. We know what Tommy Cutlets does. He does nothing. He's a career third-string quarterback. And quite frankly, would he even be a third-string quarterback anywhere else? I think it's a novelty act because he's Danny DeVito's son. So I think Tampa Bay goes into Jersey. I think that they blow the Giants out. I think they win by double figures. They're giving 6 points on the road. Do not care. Don't care. It's long travel. The Buccaneers are going to ruin Danny DeVito and the New York Giants. Plus, the Giants are ready to lose football games, too. So give me Tampa Bay minus six.
Yeah, that six number is a little bit scary to me, but I agree with you. I don't think that they're going to do anything offensively. I think they're another team, much like Las Vegas, that's trying their hardest to lose. And I think that Tampa's got a lot to play for, and they got Mike Evans coming back. And I believe that they have enough talent that they should win this game by at least seven, if not more. So I'll take the Tampa side of this as well.
Yeah, Jeremy beat me into the Google Doc today. This was the game I was going to take, so I'm definitely with you on this. I mean, as Joel mentioned, Mike Evans is back. The Giants are trying to lose. I will take Tampa in the points here.
30?
Sure.
I'm good with that.
30 sound okay? All right, 30. Yep. What's the first game you're selling to us, Brian?
All right, I'm going to bet against the teams that have been terrible against the spread. I'm going to try a new approach. Not that that's a new approach, but for me, I guess it is, since I've been so bad recently. So worst team in the league against the spread this year is the Dallas Cowboys. They're the second worst team. They're Dallas Cowboys 2-8 against the spread, facing Washington in Washington this week. I am on the Washington side with the Commanders, even as a 10.5-point favorite. I mean, I don't trust Cooper Rush, a quarterback. Rico Dowdle hasn't done anything, a running back. CeeDee Lamb is great, but he can't do it all. I'll take Washington at home with the better defense and the much better offense.
Man, that's a lot of points for me. I agree with you that I don't agree with Micah Parsons. I don't think Dallas is
a damn good team.
Yeah, they're not a damn good team. And Washington has really proven that they are a team on the rise that has a lot of talent. I think Washington wins this football game. That 10.5 is a lot for me. So I was leaning stay away from it. I could, if you guys are on board, then I can go the Washington side.
Yeah, I usually, anytime I see a double-figure spread in the NFL, I usually just crumble it up and throw it away. Don't even mess with it. I do think the Commanders win by two touchdowns, though. So another one of the games that I did not play, but gun to my head, you have to pick one side or I'm going to pull the trigger. I would go Commanders. I would go Commanders to cover the number. So I'm comfortable playing it for a little bit of a 20.
I think 20's right.
A scared baby bet. And he's in last place, so he should get docked for a little
throw me a bone. Value. I appreciate it.
All right, next game, Blankers.
I like the Detroit Lions to stay hot and do the Texans a favor. I like the Lions. I don't expect them to put a 50-burger on Indianapolis. I understand that Anthony Richardson came back and they were able to beat the Jets by a point. Just told me how bad the Jets are, not as much so as to say how good Indianapolis is. So I would say if I have to lean one way or the other on this, I would say that I take the Lions to win by more than a touchdown at Indianapolis.
Branham Lytics has the Lions winning this game by 7. The number on the nose. So obviously I didn't play this game. I'm really not even on one side of this. I think that the Colts have been competitive. I think their defense is starting to play better. Anthony Richardson's 800 times better than Joe Flacco. What a terrible decision that was. This one's tough for me because I literally have the Lions winning by 7, which is the exact number. If I had to go one way, again, the gun to my head, I mean, the Lions have just been killing teams. Like, if I'm going to lose this bet, I want to be on the Lions side, not the Colts side.
Lions can stop the run now. We saw it. And that's basically what Indianapolis does.
Yeah.
It's a good point. I'm torn on this one. I initially wanted to be on the Detroit side, but in looking up against the spread records, Detroit, top team in the league, no surprise, and they're against the spread standings this year. They're 8-2. You know who's tied for second as far as against the spread record?
Texans.
The Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So I think I'm leaning staying away from this game. That's my lean. I don't feel good about it because, as Jeremy mentioned, Detroit, when they win, they don't just win; they beat teams by 30. But if I had to place my own money or not place my own money, I would stay away.
Yeah, Blankers has been hot, though. Like
I know.
I think that we need to ride the heater. Yeah, we need to ride the heater. Like if it was Brian or me making the suggestion, I think that we would fade it. But because you've been hot, you went from last place to first place, I think that we should tell it. Yeah, I think that's
all
cool.
Right, let's do
20.
It. 20
on Detroit.
Yep. I mean, we're degenerates if we're being honest here.
All right,
second game. I want to sell. You know how I love to sweat the standalone games. Sunday Night Football, Philadelphia, going across the country to L.A. The Rams are a home dog. I love to pick on teams that are traveling across the country. I feel like it has a very negative impact. And you're giving me the Rams plus the points? I think the Rams win this game outright. Wrong team favored.
Oh.
Give me the Rams plus 3.
Way to go, Lee. I see the other side of this. I see a Philadelphia team that has been playing better and better. Your boy, the Jabroni, seems like his job is getting more safe and secure with every win. The way Saquon's playing, the way the offense is getting healthy, their defense is fully capable. I just don't think the Rams' defense is very good. That Miami game was very uninspiring. I like the Eagles' side of this.
Yeah, I'm going to side with first place here. Eagles' defense has been tremendous. We saw what they did to Washington's passing attack last week, holding them completely down. I know it's across the country, but it's also a Sunday night game. It's not like the early start where I would be more worried about the cross-country travel.
They're going to have all day to sit around in Hollywood.
I think, if you think there's some degenerates on the team, that would be a different conversation. But as far as body clock, I don't think it's as big of an issue since the game's at night. So I'm going to go with what I think is the better team, and I would pick the Eagles side.
Are y'all flipping it on me?
Yeah.
You are going to bet Philly side on this?
I mean, you and I both would have to bet if you don't want, but we both took the other side of it.
Well, you want to put 20 on the Eagles?
Y'all can flip it.
Let's flip it.
Y'all can ride.
We're going to put 20 on Philly.
Flip that bet. Yeah.
You can 20 on Philly. Branham. I've been cold. So fade Branham. Yeah, why not? Branham was on the Rams side of this bet, though. Just keep that in mind. All right, last one, Brian.
I'm going with our Houston Texans to cover the spread against the Tennessee Titans. I mentioned earlier I was betting against the two worst teams against the spread in the NFL. Number two worst is the Dallas Cowboys. Worst team in the league, 1-9 this year against the spread. The Tennessee Titans, they're on the road. Will Levis, we know, is turnover prone. The Titans will be without LeJarius Sneed, their all-pro corner. So I think Nico goes crazy. The Texans have no problem moving the ball, even though the Titans will obviously pose a problem with their two defensive tackles. I think the Texans win comfortably.
What's the number that you had?
It's 7.5.
I hate that half point. I think that there's obviously a little bit something that means a little bit more in this matchup. You're right. With Sneed out, I expect that that's a huge advantage for the Texans' offense. I like the Texans to win it by a touchdown. That half point bothers me a little bit, but I think if push comes to shove, they don't mind trying to rub it in a little bit either. So I'm fine going with the Texans, but I was staying away from.
You want to play it? You got to lay it, Joel.
Oh my God! With the Lee-isms. Well, it is Dovember.
I'm on Blanker's side. I hate betting the Texans just from the emotional side of things. I don't want to get double whammied. I don't want the Texans to get stunned by the Titans.
Money,
and on top
money.
Of that, I lose money. I'm on Blanker's side of fading this game entirely. And plus, I can see a backdoor cover here. Like, I can see the Texans up 14.
Yep.
Bench their starters, and the Titans score late to make it a 7-point game. Like, the half point, I'm with Blankers. I don't like that one at all. So.
Sorry, Brian.
All right. I guess I'm outvoted.
I just need Jeremy to do the Lee wrong team favored one more time.
Well, y'all turned it around on me.
I know. Not for this game, just because of the fact that it was unexpected. Wrong team favorite.
Taylor McCarg, former Rice Owl quarterback, college football analyst. Let's have him on, break down the college football rankings and also the week ahead in college football tomorrow. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, broadcasting live from Twin Peaks on Kirby.
You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Twin Peaks at 59 and Kirby.
Presented by Dos Equis.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's go straight out to the HRNP guest line, being joined by Taylor McCarg, former Rice Owl quarterback, college football analyst with CBS Sports. He'll be on the call this weekend. In fact, San Diego State at Utah State. I'm curious what you think of these college football rankings. My theory is that they kind of have a big name bias. Where do you stand whenever you see these committees' rankings?
First, thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it. I think, look, if you go by – with what you're talking about, who's the most disrespected, I think you have to start with SMU. I think if you took their logo off and you swapped in Penn State, I think that becomes a top eight, top seven team. But instead, they're sitting at 13 right now, and I think there is some bias there. I think they have a couple quality wins, beating Louisville, beating Pitt the way that they did at home. I think you could put that up there with anything that certainly in Indiana has from a win perspective, and even Texas. If you go down the line at Texas wins, how they have held up as the year's gone along, that Michigan win not nearly as strong as we thought at the time. So I think the committee, there is a little bit of picking and choosing selectively for some of these teams. I think the biggest challenge down the stretch for the committee is going to be what to do with all these, what we think will be this cluster of two-loss SEC teams. You're talking about Alabama likely sitting there with two losses, Ole Miss, unless they lay an egg this weekend, Georgia, and then especially what do you do with Texas? If they go on the road and lose to Texas A&M and they don't make it to the SEC championship, is that a team, and I've seen some projections already that have started to say, okay, if that ends up being a 10-2 Texas team, are they going to miss the playoff? Are they going to be on the outside looking in? And so I think that cluster of potentially all those 10-2 SEC teams, I think that's going to be the biggest challenge for the committee.
Taylor, I'm curious just your opinion on, I know Feinbaum has been out there this week, and basically he loves being a honk for the SEC, but he's questioning if Indiana belongs, and if they get crushed by Ohio State, you know, should they be in the same category as all the SEC teams that are beating the hell out of each other? I'm a Big Ten guy. I grew up a Big Ten guy, and I still believe that Indiana is more fake than real in terms of being a contender. But at the end of the day, they played so well, they're probably going to be in the top 12 no matter what. I'm just curious your thoughts.
Yeah, I think it really does depend on how do they look this week, right? If they go in and it's a one-score loss, I think that's a playoff team. Now, on the flip side of that, if they go to Ohio State and they lose by 35 points and it's a blowout, then I think there's a legitimate case for an Ole Miss to be in over them, certainly a Georgia and Alabama, and it really is going to depend on how Indiana looks. And obviously, if they go in and shock the world and they win, well, then they're going to be in the Big Ten championship, and it won't matter. But it really, I think, is going to depend for the committee on there's so much riding on this game because this is the biggest matchup and the most quality opponent that they'll face this year. It's going to depend on what that tape looks like, how competitive are they in that game. And then I think we're not done with upsets. And you're still going to have one or two teams that wouldn't shock me if we talked about it a second ago, but the way Florida beat LSU, it wouldn't stun me if Ole Miss went in and if they didn't take care of business. Again, that's a team that has a home loss to Kentucky. Is it possible that they go on the road to the Swamp and lose? Sure. So I think there are some potential upsets that are still out there down the stretch. This is far from over. And most of this, I think, is going to be settled. Just same way that we had with the teams that were 5 and 6 and all the controversy that would go into those rankings and who gets in. Well, now it's the same thing, and we're just going to be talking about teams 13, 14, 15 that are on the outside looking in. And I think that's going to be especially important for the Big 12 that is sitting there looking like this is really just going to be a one-bid league. And there's a wild scenario where it's even possible that they get no one in the playoff if Army were to beat Notre Dame. So that's a league to definitely keep an eye on down the closing stretch.
Well, Taylor, you're not going to be invited back with that kind of talk. Come on now. Yeah. Come on. Taylor McHarg joining us on the HR&P guest line, former Rice Owl quarterback, college football analyst. I thought Dan Mullen had a very interesting question on Feinbaum yesterday, or it was earlier this week. I'm not exactly sure what day it was, because the entire conversation, whenever it comes to Indiana, Ohio State wins by 21, Indiana not a playoff team. What if Indiana beats Ohio State by 21? Is Ohio State now not a playoff team? Like, we don't envision this happening because the Buckeyes are 11-point favorites and they are Ohio State, but Indiana's undefeated. Ohio State's 9-1. What if Indiana just hammered the Buckeyes? Are they now out of the conversation? Because we're quick to do that with Indiana.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think the committee would then go to, okay, what are your quality wins? And obviously going to Happy Valley and getting that win over Penn State, I think that would be impactful. If Indiana beats Ohio State, and even if, I don't want to say even if it's a blowout, because if there's some wild scenario where they do go in and win by 3 touchdowns, I do think that would change things. I think there would be a very loud group that would be saying that is not a playoff team. I don't think that's going to happen. I think best case for Indiana in a win is that they muddy this game up. They limit possessions for Ohio State, and they win by a score, have a chance to win the game at the end. I think that's best case for Indiana. But what we're really seeing is already this separation more and more where, and we thought this would be the case, but the SEC and the Big Ten fighting for the lion's share of these spots and the bias against the ACC and the Big 12, I think that's real. Now, the Big 12, I don't think there's really any argument against it. They're down this year. There's not a ton of – go look at what the preseason media poll looked like. Yeah. All those teams that were at the top, they're now at the bottom. So it's been a tough year for the Big 12. But for the ACC, yeah, Miami, SMU, even Clemson still on the outside looking in, I think that league just being a one-bid league and where SMU is at 13, I think it's very clear that the committee had a ton of respect for that league overall. And so, again, most of this gets sorted out in the next couple weeks, but I don't think ACC fans, I'm going to be surprised if there's not a loud group of ACC fans that are displeased with whatever the final rankings end up being.
Taylor, I'm curious your thoughts on Colorado. You mentioned, you know, we've talked about the fact that, look, the hype train is huge when you talk about Coach Prime and the two potential Heisman candidates that he has on his roster, at least to start the year, and some of the talent that they have. But I don't know that I ever thought that they were going to be a team that's going to be in the thick of this with two losses. How do you see that team in terms of – it seems like they've got a pretty clear path to get in, but could they do some damage if they get in?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I was wrong on Colorado. At the midway point of the season and where their losses came from, I mean, I think back to that Nebraska game and the way that they looked from a lack of physicality, I didn't see this coming for Colorado. I think there was something that switched in their season when they went on the road to Central Florida and took that team to the woodshed and really physical performance on the defensive side. From that moment on, it was almost like something got activated on the defensive side of the ball. And there's a level of toughness that they have carried week in and week out. And that, to me, has been the difference. It's really been the defensive side. Because the offense, we've seen from the very beginning, they don't have any trouble putting up points. But they've done such a nice job of taking the fight to teams in the second half of the season. And I agree with you. I think if you ask between BYU, Arizona State, and Colorado, number one, I think Colorado is most likely, in my opinion, to win the conference. And then number two, which of those teams has the best chance of making a run beyond just getting in and actually winning a game or two? I think it's Colorado, especially if they win, they don't get the four seed. If Boise State stays ahead of where they're ranked right now, if Boise State stays ahead on the four seed, but Colorado ends up getting to host a playoff game, I think they absolutely could win a first-round playoff game. So all the credit in the world to Dion and Coach Prime and that staff. And again, the toughness that they've shown in the back half of the schedule, that has surprised me a lot. I did not see that in the first part of the season and did not expect them to be where they're at with just a couple weeks left in the regular season.
Taylor, one more real quick on the way out. Are there any names that you want to see at Rice for their head coaching position?
You know, some stuff coming out the last couple of days. Casey Keeler is a guy that has been mentioned, won a ton at Sam Houston State. Tim Beck has been mentioned. Obviously, he's had some success. I think the Ohio head coach, I don't have his name in front of me, but him, the level that they've won out of the MAC. I think any one of those three, all with head coaching experience, I think those would be good hires. And, again, to me, I think the biggest thing is that all three of these have head coaching experience from what I've heard around Rice. That was very important for this next hire. So I really would be happy with any one of those three out of what it sounds like are the finalists.
Yeah, I think they'd be all three would be a good hire. Tim Alvin, I think the name you're looking for from Ohio.
Tim Alvin, that's right. Thank you.
Yeah, Taylor, thanks so much for the time. Great stuff. Appreciate you coming on. Have a great call tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Taylor McHarg, college football analyst, CBS Sports, on the call tomorrow of San Diego State, Utah State, Rice out quarterback. Good conversation, talking a little ball, a little college football. 713-780-ESPN. Time now for Who Said It. Killer Bees looking for revenge against Old Tremac. Let's see how we do. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Twin Peaks on Kirby on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Speaking of college football, tomorrow the place to be is TD ECU Stadium. The weather is going to be beautiful. What a beautiful day we've had these last couple of days. That continues tomorrow. It's always like that at TD ECU Stadium. So get out there tomorrow, Cougar fans. Final home game of the season. You don't have to be a Cougar fan. You just want to take in a football game. Beautiful day. Beautiful Houston blue. Well, come on out to TD ECU Stadium. Houston Cougars taking on the red-hot Baylor Bears. Houston trying to keep their bowl eligibility alive. Tomorrow at 6 at TD ECU Stadium. Last chance to see the Cougars at home this year. And tickets start at just $15. Get yours now. UHCougars.com/tickets. 713-GO-COUGS. Don't miss the action. Celebrating Senior Day. 21 seniors. Cheer on the Houston Cougars in their brand new blue uniforms. Bring your friends. Bring your family. Let's pack TD ECU Stadium with that Cougar pride. Get your tickets now. UHCougars.com/tickets or simply call 713-GO-COUGS. You're going to want to be out there. Weather's going to be great. Come early. Be loud and wear blue.
It's now time for Super Producer Brian McDonald, a.k.a. TreeMac.
I'm Groot.
To do his best to stump Joel and Jeremy.
Well, I'm stumped.
It's everyone's favorite segment.
Because everyone loves it.
Yeah, everyone loves it.
I know.
Right, exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Who said it?
He said it.
With the Killer Bees.
Loves it. Lots of fun had here.
Sounds like you do.
Twin Peaks Kirby. Let's get right into it. Quote number one, Brian.
All right. I like when they sign guys early. I do like that. What I don't love is when it gets to the market. I already know, dead man walking. As soon as it's to the market, you have no chance of being an Astro. Nobody comes back when they hit the market unless they're taking 2-year deals. Nobody.
Well, my initial is Lance.
That was my initial, too.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. No, I just said that for fun.
No, yes, I'm saying it's just the way the delivery was. I could hear him saying it just like that.
Yeah, let's just do it. Let's go Lance Erline.
Okay, all right.
I like when they sign guys early. I
do. Whoa. Like
that's smart.
Good job.
What I don't love is when it gets to the market, I already know. Dead man walking. As soon as it's to the market, you have no chance of being an Astro. Nobody comes back when they hit the market unless they're taking 2-year deals.
That's
nobody.
All right. Good job, boys. You're up 1-0. Quote number two. I don't want a brain worm. Remember how RFK had a brain worm that ate up half his brain? Now I got a Micah Parsons worm on my brain. Thanks a lot. I get earworms and brain worms. Brain worms from Micah Parsons.
What? Did a brain worm really take out RFK? I thought that was Sirhan Sirhan. I don't think a brain worm did it. Was that true?
Wrong RFK.
My initial.
Oh, he's talking about Junior?
Yeah, he's talking about Junior.
I didn't know he had a brain worm. Oh, okay.
My initial is mixing the politics in the quote. First thought is always Paulie.
Yeah, that was where I was at.
How strong? Do we just. Do it
Let's
again.
Just do it again. Let's see if this works. Let's
All right.
Walk a lot.
I don't want a brain worm.
Oh.
Remember how RFK had a brain worm that ate hit half of his brain? Oh,
back to back. Lance is dirty, nasty, Bush League.
No 5-0. Never 5-0.
Brain worms from Micah Parsons.
All right. You're still alive, though. 1-1. Quote number three. No, I'm not that old. I've never seen that show. I don't think about it. No. I just know that Sean Pendergast looks like somebody on it. What? He said that. He acknowledges that all the time. I love Sean. I think he looks more like Michael Chiklis. The reference being the Adams Family and Uncle Fester.
Really? I thought he'd be the commish.
Well, that was what the quote said at the end. I thought he looked more like Michael Chiklis.
Oh, is that his name? I didn't know that was his name.
That's the name of the actor.
That's funny. I didn't know that guy's name. I know his face. I didn't know his name.
Yeah, his face is Sean Pendergast's face.
So I'm not old enough to say it. So it couldn't be the bitch.
You want me to read again now that you know the context?
Yeah.
All right. No, I'm not that old. I've never seen that show. I don't think about it. No. I just know that Sean Pendergast looks like somebody on it. What? He said that. He acknowledged that all the time. He acknowledges that all the time. I love Sean. I think he looks like more like Michael Chiklis.
Paul or Joe?
Does Joe know who Michael Chiklis is?
That's I think Paul would know Michael Chiklis, and then I was thinking of someone that would say, I don't think Dell has any kind of a feeling towards Pendergast. I don't think they've ever crossed paths. I think Paulie has.
But it's Joe?
I don't know.
They might have been at the highway.
Was Joe at 610 for a while? For a little bit?
For a brief period, but he was usually doing stuff like in the afternoons or the evenings. I don't know if he... he probably did cross paths with him.
The G's, like, one of the G's is where I'm at.
I don't feel like Joe's going to know Michael Chiklis. Or
I would agree with that.
Like, I think this is Paul.
I can see that.
If it's Joe, I'm stunned.
No, I'm not that. I'm not that. Oh. I've never seen that show. I don't
really
know about it. No,
you got it right.
I just know that Sean Pendergast looks like somebody on it.
Well done.
Boy, he said that. He acknowledges that all the time.
Okay.
Groupthink is working today.
I think he looks more like Michael Chick.
Right. Not group, but groupthink.
All right, you guys are up 2-1. You're on the precipice of a win here. Quote number 4.
Not group.
Feels like you're literally beating up small puppies because these teams are worthless. And they like Dallas is such a shell of themselves. Beating them almost did nothing for me. It usually would do great things for me, and beating Dallas, I was like, what a sad, pathetic group of people Dallas is. What a sad, pathetic group of football players.
Okay.
I heard Dell.
Yeah.
I could hear Paul a little bit.
Really?
I was thinking Dell, Joe, and maybe Granada.
I don't think Granada's going to talk about beating soft puppies. And I think that he would. I think that John's a little bit more like optimistic whenever Houston teams win.
Oh no, he's very probably true.
I think that
he's very pro Texans are the greatest team that hung the moon.
I feel like we can eliminate him for the optimism.
Okay.
I feel like we can eliminate Dell here too.
Really?
Yeah, I think Dell was like a little bit more positive about this win than some others. Than, like, the
I didn't
G's.
Hear enough of him that to know one way or the other on that. He's just normally.
Yeah, I know what you're coming from, but I feel like this week he was a little different with the Cowboys. I didn't hear him once, so I don't know why I think that. Can you read it one more time?
Sure. Feels like you're literally beating up small puppies because these teams are worthless and they Dallas is such a shell of themselves. Beating them almost did nothing for me. It usually would do great things for me. And beating Dallas, I was like, what a sad, pathetic group of people Dallas is. What a sad, pathetic group of football players.
See, I think it's a killer G. I feel like they were
I
the
can
most
hear Joe.
Negative.
Yeah.
See, I'm torn between Paul and Joe. If Brian go back-to-back twice, yes, the answer is yes, he would do that. He's There's no low he's not willing to stoop to get victories.
He put the Bush in Bush League.
He did.
That is the truest thing Jeremy has ever said.
I feel like it's Joe.
I do too.
Let's do it. Joe George.
Feels like you're literally beating up small puppies because these teams are worthless. And Dallas is such a shell of themselves. Beating them almost did nothing for me. It usually would do great things for me. And beating Dallas, I was like, what a sad, pathetic group of people.
He put the big Bush in Bush League.
What a sad, pathetic group of football players.
Okay. Well, all right. We weren't on that. Whatever.
No.
It's the rubber quote here. 2-2.
No. Yeah, we keep
for the win. Don't choke. All right. Quote 5. I think we're going to have people going to that concert. At least that's what I was told. It won't be I don't know if it'll be a 97.5 night. There'll just be some people excited to go see Usher, and they're going to go. I will not be among those people. I will be at home, like, getting the yams prepared and getting the mac and cheese prepared.
Okay, it's not Dale. I don't think he cooks.
I don't know.
Really?
I know they were talking about Thanksgiving. Dale hates turkey, and they've been talking a lot. And I heard someone asked Dale for his favorite Usher song. So I wouldn't completely rule him out. Now, the problem is would he prepare food?
That's what I'm saying. I don't think he's preparing food.
Yeah. Then John and Lance are.
John's not like in town. So I don't think that John would even talk about this.
Good point.
I don't think it'd be Lance.
Would he go for Lance?
I don't think so. And if he did, really, it's a bad look for him, not us. So
it can't get any worse than it already looks, I think. Well, maybe it can.
Paul's not preparing anything. Joe's privy to, like, some insider information. Being the, you know,
well, then he'd know if it was a 97.5 night.
That's what I'm, and he would also have intel that people are going. Would Ryan realize we would pick that up, though? Can you read it again, please?
I think we're going to have people going to that concert. At least that's what I was told. It won't be a, yeah, I don't know if it'll be a 97.5 night. There'll just be some people excited to go see Usher. And they're going to go. I will not be among those people. I will be at home, like, getting the yams prepared and getting the mac and cheese prepared.
I think it's Dell, Jeremy.
Really?
Because he said, I think it was this morning, or maybe it was yesterday morning, because he doesn't eat turkey. He goes, it's time to get the cheese and the sides.
But does
or
he
something
prepare,
like that.
Like, is he making stuff for people?
Yeah, that's the kicker. I don't know if he's preparing food.
I feel like it's Joe, but I don't know if Joe could.
Is Joe preparing food?
Yeah, maybe not. I think he just shows up and eats. He just reaps all the benefits of Thanksgiving. He doesn't actually help participate. I mean, if you're feeling Dell, let's do it, I guess. You want to do it?
No, because you. I mean, I don't want to steer you the wrong way if you feel like you think it, but you don't have. You don't think it. You're not strongly feeling it's Joe.
Not,
I mean, is Lance in the picture? Because Lance would do.
No, I don't want to go Lance. If Brian's willing to go four Lances, that's on him. Like he's basically cheating, is what he's doing. If he goes Lance four times, I'm willing to go Dell.
If you are, then
let's
I'm
Dell
okay,
Olalea.
I think we're,
yes,
we're going to have people
job.
Going.
Yes,
to what a job!
At least that's what I was told.
What a job!
It won't be
representative.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll
Brian
be nice
showed emotion too.
Oh,
he wanted
there'll
that
be some
one.
People
damn
excited to go see Usher.
What
go.
A job!
I will not be one of those people.
I wish
I'll be
you
at home,
to
like
Jeremy,
getting
yes.
the yams prepared.
That is
and
good.
The, and
well
and
done.
Getting yeah. the mac and cheese prepared.
Well,
that was a good team effort this week.
The thing, you know what sucks about that though is Joel heard that this morning, because I heard Dale talk about this morning, but I pulled it from Wednesday, so he talked about it again.
Oh, wow.
So what you heard was not what I pulled.
Because he had to do the promo.
Right,
yeah.
but it still led you to the right answer.
Attaboy. Wow. Good job, Blankers.
Yes, sir.
Good job, Joel.
All right.
Group think, not group.
No credit to Jeremy.
Killer bees are, what do you mean? I didn't, I stayed out of the way. I didn't take the shot. Like, I was
That's
not
true.
Selfish
you,
with
you
that
passed
answer.
The ball. You yeah, passed
well,
the ball.
I more watched the shot. I don't even know if I passed it. Okay. Lance thinks the signs of the Astros run ending are near and obvious. Is he right? It is the bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You know what you need in your life? You need a goal from Pro Dunk Hoops. You want a basketball. A basketball goal. Your kids probably want a basketball goal as well. Well, you need to get a basketball goal. And if you're going to get one, it needs to be from Pro Dunk Hoops. It can't be from the big box stores. You don't want the cheap goals that are no good. They're not going to last that long. Get a goal from Pro Dunk. They're the highest quality basketball goals that you will find. Tempered glass backboard gives you true, authentic feel off the rim, off the glass. A breakaway rim, stainless steel hardware. It's rust-proof, which is great. Height adjustable, anywhere from 5 feet to 10 feet. Lower it down, throw down some jams. Raise it up, work on your shot, work on your game. Also, their new goal, Thor. You can raise and lower the goals with a drill. That's right. Lightning adjust feature, 5 to 10 feet in a matter of seconds. And their accessories are next level, too. LED light kits for night play. It gets dark early. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. Get LED light kits. That way you can play throughout the night. Annoy your neighbors. Why not? Backstop nets so you don't have to chase after the basketball, pull pad lettering, and lots more. And you can order all of this, including professional installation online. Look, you don't want to get a big box delivered to your driveway and you have to assemble a million pieces. I know that you don't. So allow them, the pros at Pro Dunk, to professionally install your goal. They're going to install it perfectly, the right height, perfectly straight. Not going to have to worry about a thing. Let the pros at Pro Dunk do that work for you. Give them a call at 281-351-9822, 281-351-9822, and visit ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Twin Peaks at 59 and Kirby.
Presented by Dos Equis.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, so Lance thinks that there are signs of the Astros' run ending. Here's what he had to say in regards to that. fans.
I know what it looks like when it starts to drift downhill. And it's in that, and we're in that phase. Like, there's nothing that can get out of it. I saw it with Texans. I've seen it with Rockets before. Once you start heading that direction, that's where we're headed. It's not hard to see. You just have to look at history, and you can recognize what's happening. And it is scary because you have an opportunity with commodities. I'm working off of Roy Oswalt, and I'm working off of real history. Do you remember when they had Roy and Lance Berkman, an outfielder, first baseman, whatever, and a pitcher. And they had a chance to move those guys, but they wouldn't do it. Drayton wouldn't do it. Thought the fan base would be upset. Thought he had a great chance to win. He wouldn't do it. And by the time he did it, they couldn't get that much for either one of those guys. Had they done it a year earlier, they would have. We're sitting here with, I'm going to say Fromber as Roy Oswalt and Kyle Tucker as Berkman, except Kyle Tucker's younger than Berkman was when they were going to trade him. And you can get something in return for those guys. You at least have to have the conversation.
Do you think he makes sense, Blankers?
So I think both things can be said. And there's true. I don't think that just because I like the comparison, honestly, between Royo and Berkman with Fromber and Tucker, and the fact that you should probably do something and do something before you really can't get much in return and they go somewhere anyway. But at the same time, I don't think that has to be a sign that they're regressing and that the run is over and you know, lesser days are on the horizon. I think that they can be savvy about this. They can be, from a business perspective, knowing that they're not in the market to pay the kind of money for the years that those two guys want, and they know that they can get a bigger package for them this offseason than if they waited in season as rentals. Teams would be less likely to give, and you could maybe replenish your farm system and get a couple of players, and you still have enough pitching and a decent enough lineup that you could still be a playoff team. Then depending on what you did with the free agency and otherwise, maybe you supplement losing Tucker and you find another outfielder. But I agree with him. I like the comparison on that front. I don't think that necessarily paints the picture that it's the start beginning of the end of the Astros run.
Yeah, I mean, I see where he's coming from here. To me, my angst and my I guess hopelessness has more to do with the front office. I just don't trust them. I trust Dana Brown. I don't trust his boss. I don't trust his owner, because I think that there's two ways of sustaining winning in Major League Baseball. I think you either have to spend top three money, a la the Dodgers, you know, the Yankees. Now, I don't think the Astros are going to get into a spending war with those teams. They might spend here and there. They might go over the competitive balance tax once every, you know, 3 to 5 years and be right at the competitive balance tax, but they're not going to start winning these bidding wars to make them one of the best teams in baseball. The other way I think that you sustain winning is that you're always willing to trade players. That's why I agree with Lance here. I'm not a big believer, unless you're going to spend big money and, like, always re-sign these guys and sign all the very best free agents, and I'm not talking Jose Abreu, I'm talking Shohei Ohtani's, then you need to be very proactive in roster turnover. Like, the Astros won the World Series in 17. They won it in 22 with a completely different roster. They weren't scared of roster turnover. Luno was not scared of it. James Click was not scared of it. You should embrace that, quite frankly. But if you're going to embrace that, then you need to have the plan and the cojones to trade players before they walk for almost nothing. Yes, you get compensation picks, but whenever you're above the competitive balance tax, those compensation picks aren't as good, so you're basically losing 30 picks of value. So I agree with Lance. Like, I'm not a believer in letting guys leave for almost free. I think that you should look at players like commodities. Sorry, I know it's a very Daryl Morey type of thing to do. When a guy's about to leave you in free agency, why not flip that guy for three minor league prospects that are good? That way they're always giving you some sort of return on investment. Because the moment a Tucker or a Fromber or a Bregman leaves you, you're getting a second-round draft pick in the Major League Baseball amateur draft, as opposed to prospects that you've seen play professionally. So I think it's always a way of your investment always paying off. Because once Kyle Tucker leaves, that investment's pretty much gone. But if you trade for a couple of prospects, a couple of, like, a big league player, you're always getting return on that commodity.
See, I think, Jeremy, from the standpoint of where they are and the decision to be made, they fight the battle internally of, do we do the right imaging thing and say that we're in it till the bitter end, we're going to do everything in our power to sign X player that's been a part of history and a major part of our franchise, only to know what we knew all along, the inevitable is they're going to go somewhere else? Or do you do the right, smart business move in baseball and say, hey, you've been great, we've enjoyed our run, you want this, we don't want to give you that, so we're going to do something now that puts you in a situation where you'll still be able to do what you want to do, and it gives us something in return before we just watch another player walk out the door. They struggle with that, I firmly believe, internally. Oh, yeah. And it's a very tough thing for them to come to grips with. But the right thing to do is, I think we both are in agreement on both of them. I don't think they're going to re-sign Tucker. I don't think they should, and that they will re-sign Fromber. And if you're not going to, then you need to come to grips from a reality business standpoint of doing something now when you can get a bigger haul than waiting until it's too late as a rental.
Yeah, like Lance's point is like they're kind of just going to ride the clock out on this golden era because, like, and I think that's what they're doing. Like, okay, you're not showing the, you know, courage and bravado to trade some of these players. That way it would help you in the future. Maybe you take it a little bit in the short term. Maybe you win, you know, 88 games next year as opposed to 94, and you take it a little bit in the short term, but it really helps you going forward. Like, they're hanging on to this, okay, these are our guys, and then inevitably we know that they're going to leave. So you're not even helping out your long term a whole lot. And, like, those are the ways you win. Like, either you're going to be super aggressive financially and compete with the highest market teams in baseball, or you need to be very cutting edge and try to figure out a way to help your roster pool and your talent pool and be a little bit, you know, against the grain. And I think that Tucker and Fromber, it would be against the grain to trade them. I don't think that they're going to trade them. I think it would be in the best interest long term for the Astros. And, like, you know, we see these guys that leave. Like, they must re-sign Bregman or it's over. Why? Like, George Springer left, it wasn't over. Gerrit Cole left, it wasn't over. Carlos Correa left, you won the World Series the next year. You just have to be very smart in how you spend the resources that are freed up when these players do leave. And I feel like this front office has lost its intelligence over the last couple of years. You went from Luno, you went from Click, both highly intelligent, and then now you have Jim Crane that's being a Jerry Jones light, and I feel like the intelligence level of the front office has taken a major blow.
Yeah, I think in terms of like an anatomy and physiology check, I think that you now have let your heart get in the way of having the big stones necessary to make the tough decisions. You know what your fan base is thinking. We've heard through how many of these situations about just pay the man, just pay the man, just pay the man. Well, that's easy for the fans to say, but from an organizational standpoint, the tougher thing is we're not going to pay the man, and we're going to do the very unpopular decision from a fan perspective to do what's in the best interest of this team for the long haul going forward in doing something that can actually keep the ship afloat and maybe make the ship better than if you just ride it out. And I think that that's where specifically the owner gets involved too heavily in imaging and how they look as opposed to what you know is the right business decision to win baseball long term.
All right, DJ BNMA covers the Houston Texans for ESPN, ESPN.com. He'll be joining Blankers for the next 30 minutes. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Twin Peaks on Kirby on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.